And it is time for one more section of Attitude Adjustment. Even though it's Friday, I think our attitudes are all fine. But hey, listen, we've got somebody here in the studio with us that I think is going to help us keep ourselves, keep our attitude just straight. Tom Haynes is our Senior Vice President and Editor-in-Chief at AOPA Publications. I knew you when you were just plain old editor of AOPA Pilot. And I'm so glad you're here. And you said you flew your bonanza in. Welcome, Tom.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, Rob, Amy. Good to see you as well. And I did. Yeah, I brought the bonanza out to Appleton on Sunday with a full boat. We had four of us on board, and I had two seats out, and we were kind of floor-to-ceiling on the bags and stopped in Michigan for a little more fuel to come on over, and it's been was a good trip.
Now, it flies a little differently when you end up loading it all the way to the gills like that, doesn't it? Mine does, too.
It does. Yeah, you got to be prepared for that. But, you know, it's a great airplane. We use it that way all the time. Still climbs out at, you know, fully loaded like that, 900 feet a minute, and away we go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it can get it off the ground and everything. What I find, though, is literally even just how you rotate is just a little different.
Yep.
When you've really got it loaded up. I mean, it's in CG, but even in CG, it feels
right.
You really feel.
And it is one of the things that really, when you're doing proficiency flying, you really ought to fly it in a variety of CGs and in a variety of weights, because it does. Particularly, imagine yourself in an IMC situation, taking off in a low IMC day, and not being aware of that when you pitch up and the climb attitude and that sort of thing.
Can be a real issue that way. No, you're absolutely right. So that's so cool. Now, you're the second person I've seen with that watch on.
That
becomes one of the cool things I've seen
at
the show.
It is. Yep. This is the Garmin D2, the new version of the Garmin.
Yeah, the D2. New one. Right. Exactly.
And I'm trying it out. I'm going home tomorrow on the Bonanza, and
okay.
I'm going to navigate by this thing and see how whether I end up in Frederick or not.
For situational awareness only,
of course,
right?
Of course, yes, right. But
you're going to navigate all the way back on that.
That's the plan.
Okay. So, and can you talk to the airplane? like they used to talk. Remember the TV show with the guy who used to talk to Kit, the car?
Right. Yeah.
So is that going to allow you to?
Well, at this point, I guess, I'm sure given all the Kinect stuff and the flight stream stuff that Garmin's been working on, it's going to have the ability to interact with the Panamont stuff. So,
that would be so nice, wouldn't it? That would be really, really nice.
So what are the big issues that you've been seeing and thinking about since you've been here at AOPA, or I'm sorry, wrong organization? You're AOPA, but we're here at EAA Air Venture 2015.
They wrote it on the mic.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I have spell check.
Well, you know, the big issues that we've been thinking about here at the show are the same as what we've been thinking about for months and months now. And third class medical reform is right at the top of that list. It's a number one priority for AOPA, and Mark Baker and our legislative team in Washington has been laser focused on this for months. And interestingly, it's really starting to get momentum here just this week. I just a few minutes ago finished an interview with Senator Inhofe and talking to him about what's going on. And he has 54 senators as co-sponsors of the Pilots Bill of Rights 2. And he needs with 60, it's going to go.
Okay.
And so if he can get 60, it'll go one of two ways. One is it'll be an amendment to the highway bill, which has got to move and get through by the end of July, July 31st, because otherwise the highway people run out of money, and that's not a good thing. And so he's got a Senator Manchin is going to attach that as an amendment to the highway bill. And if we got 54 senators on board, or 60 senators on board, it's going to go. And if that doesn't work because of timing and because there's not a lot of time left to kind of make all that come together, then he plans to introduce it as a standalone bill and Pilots Bill of Rights 2, which includes third class medical reform. And if he's got 60 co-sponsors, once again, it'll go. And then we've got a lot of confidence that with continued pressure on the House, we can get enough co-sponsors over there, which we already have 120 or something like that. Maybe it's more than that by now. We can get it through. So,
well, maybe just for some of the listeners that may have been hearing third class medical reform for a long time, what are the couple of the details of what that will offer us?
Well, something new in it that he just told me this morning is that what it means basically is a person could fly an airplane up that weighs up to 6,000 pounds that has up to six seats, but the number of passengers is still a little bit in play. It might only be four passengers, but it could be as many as five passengers. That's still being negotiated. And it was going to be up to 14,000 feet. Now he told me today they've put new language in. It's up to 18,000 feet.
Oh, that makes so much more sense. It's fine to keep them out of the Class A airspace, but 18,000 feet makes more sense.
Yeah, particularly when you get into the west.
Yeah.
And then also IFR, because for a while VFR was what we were saying was owning the VFR, and that didn't make a lot of sense either. So IFR will be as part of it. So for anybody who is flying non-commercially, once again, and you're flying in an airplane that fits that criteria, you would no longer have to get a medical exam from the FAA. If you had a driver's license, you could that and most likely if you are going to be required to take some kind of an online course every year or every other year to just remind you about the responsibility you have of maintaining your health and that sort of thing.
Well, will there be some kind of self-certification signature somewhere in that course too? Because I would think that they would want us to at least say, yes, I am healthy, or I maintain unhealthy.
Of course, you're self-certifying every flight that you do.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Saying that you will. But yes, if it gets written into the legislation that you have to take that course, there will be a place where it will be recorded that you took that course, and that will be on file.
Well, and that makes sense. That makes sense. And I can't see anybody protesting that. That's a lot less onerous than having to schedule and go to the doctor and pay the doctor.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
And the real problem is not that exam every 2 years for most people. It's the folks that have had some sort of procedure. I mean, heart stents. You know, one day you may be having a real heart problem but don't even know it. You know, you're fine. You have some sort of a situation and suddenly you discover that you've got a heart problem. You go in and get a stent. Well, today after the stent, you're much healthier than you were 2 days ago. But now the FAA, because you've had this procedure done, they want you to go through all sorts of hoops for the next like 5 years and special issuance and all that kind of thing. And it's a real hassle. You've got very expensive testing you have to do on a regular basis to show the FAA that you're healthy at a point when you're much healthier than you were before they even knew you or they hadn't knew you had a problem.
So that's just logical.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
you can't have that in Washington, right?
Yeah. It goes back to some very archaic, very old FAA rules that come from very old data, from very old cardiac, how they handled cardiac patients. And unfortunately, government moves very slowly. So the medical world knows all of this and has updated all of this. And it's the same thing with a lot of the drugs that the FAA says are good or bad.
Right.
Not necessarily. We have some new stuff, but they won't put it on the list. We can't use it, even if it's better.
Now you talk about advancements. There's a memo out there from Hap Arnold back in the late 30s, more or less, when he was heading up the Army Air Corps, saying that he didn't believe it was safe for pilots over 40 to fly by themselves.
Yeah, there you go. We've now decided that's 65.
That's right.
Well, you know, another thing I was going to notice, when I was walking over there by the AOPA building, I saw these taxis sitting out in front.
Yeah, what are
they
those
kind of
things?
Look like airplanes, but I swear they were taxi cab yellow.
Yeah, well, it's not Uber.
It's not an Uber. Okay. No, I remember the 150 from last year.
Right.
There's a 172 out there now.
There is a 172 out there. Yeah. So last year we kicked off this project we called Reimagined 150, 152, is working with Aviat Aircraft out in Wyoming to take 150s and 152s, put them back through the factory, their factory, where they basically disassemble them and essentially remanufacture them, put them, go through every system, look at everything that needs to be replaced and replace it, and put them back together, paint them this sort of disruptive yellow that we wanted to get people's attention with, and that certainly worked. And then put them back out there at a price that is as affordable as it can be when an airplane has gone through that much of a remanufacturing process, but good for another 20 years anyhow, and with a warranty. And the idea being that showcasing that there's a lot of life left in the fleet. We're not putting that many new airplanes back into the fleet. And so in order to keep the fleet safe and refreshed, we've got to do something. And this is a way to do it in a systematic kind of way. And a number of other companies have gotten interested in this concept, Yingling Aircraft out of Wichita being one of them. And so they have been working on their own project, which they call the Ascend 172, which is they've taken a 172 and done essentially the same thing, remanufactured it, also painted it yellow, and it's here on display in front of the AOPA tent. And their plan is to offer this to flight schools, flying clubs, just like we have for the, we've been talking about for the 150, 152 through Aviat. And so, and there are a number of other companies that have expressed an interest in this, and Yuengling itself is looking at additional models to put through a very standardized remanufacturing process. And we've been working with the insurance companies and with the finance companies to help them recognize the value that comes with this, because it is such an extensive remanufacturing process that it comes with a higher price tag than if you and I went and sort of did this sort of piecemeal and ad hoc on our own. And so in order to be able to get financing for these higher haul values and insurance, we've worked with the insurance companies, finance companies, and gotten good results. So you can get financing and get insurance for these airplanes, and they're going to be good for easily 20 years for more flying.
That's wow. That's awesome. That now, where can people find these airplanes? Where are you located on the field? I know, disruptive yellow. They yes. got to look for disruptive yellow.
And more importantly, look for brown, the Brown Arch. And,
excellent.
If you go to the Brown Arch, we're right across the street from the Brown Arch, and the airplanes are right up front, so they're hard to miss.
Excellent. And online, you're at AOPA.org.
That's right.
Tom Haines, thank you so much for coming on EAA Radio. We'll be right back with more.